Lord just prompted in my heart, and so, but I feel it's important that we respond to what God is saying right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to continue to submit our ears, our hearts, our lives to what you're saying and what you're doing right now. And so, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't get stuck in what we think we know or what we understand or anything else, but we would We just want you. We don't want anything less. We don't want anything more. We just want you. So come. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to explain something to you really quick, because sometimes I hear people say things like, why do you ask God to come like he's not already here? I recognize that he's here. He's also at my house. He's also in my car. He's everywhere. But there's a difference between him just being somewhere and him manifesting himself somewhere. It's different. I can walk around behind you or even behind my kids, but when they go to fall, I manifest my being by catching him or her. You understand? I could still be there and watch them fall. I'm still there, but I didn't manifest myself by catching them when they needed me. So when I ask God to come, that's what I'm asking. It is manifest right here, right now. What I need, what I don't even realize I need, what I didn't come in here thinking I need, but it just happened. So I want to share something with you that is, it may seem simple, but it's actually quite profound. And it's this. In the English language, which, to my knowledge, it is the only language that we speak this way in, and it's this. Things like, I am hungry. I am sick. I am thirsty. I am scared. I'm fearful. You know, those type of things. In the Hebrew language, or even Spanish, or whatever language you pick, typically you say things like, I have hunger, or I have fear, or, and here's why this is important for you to get what I'm trying to get to. The word am comes from the verb to be. So what you are literally saying is, my being is fearful. Like, who I am. So here's why this is important. If you have something, you can also let that thing go. If you don't have something, you can attain it. But if you are something, you can't get rid of what you actually are. So consistently, we come into agreement with things that I believe the enemy just loves for us to say, I am sick. I am fearful. Listen, whether you understand this, believe this, want to hear this or not, it's true. We are made up of three parts. Do we know this? Right? Body, soul, spirit. Our spirit is who God says we are. That's how he sees us. That's how he knows us. That is our ultimate being, if you will, is our spirit. Let me tell you what the soul is. Our soul is how we see ourselves. body is what other people see of us. But our bodies manifest what we believe about ourselves. So if we are consistently saying, I am this or I am that, we begin to manifest that very thing on the outside of our body because it's what we believe. According to Psalms, what a man believes or thinks in his heart, so is he. So if we look, this has been an issue of mine for years. As I've read through the Word and I see things like we identify stories in the Bible like this. The man with the withered hand. Not the man who God set free and healed fully. The woman with the issue of blood. She was bleeding for 12 years. Well, guess what? She was healed for many more than that. Why do we identify with our issues and our struggles instead of allowing ourselves to be identified in the fullness of how God sees us? We continually struggle in areas that we don't have to. And I'm not talking about some kind of weird self-help voodoo, you know, whatever. And I mean... No, I do mean something by that, but I don't think that we need to run around and pretend like there aren't things going on. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about, like, there's a difference between faith and stubbornness, right? Because how can you be healed unless you first acknowledge you need healing? I get that. But I also recognize that we consistently let ourselves be identified and we speak it out of our mouth, the very thing the enemy says about us. We come into agreement with it. We speak it. We believe it. It becomes our being. Happy Mother's Day. I want to take this a step further because I feel that we need to experience something today that brings us into a fuller understanding of what we're responding to, why we're responding to God, why it matters that we respond when He's doing what He's doing. The reason that I came up here and decided to push into this a little bit is it's not that I think God suddenly disappears and you can't have what He was going to give you. It's that there are, I don't know how else to put this, and this might sound a little strange, but it's almost like there are tears in moments of time that open up and God's perfect timing arrives and lands in our chronos, our regular time. I'll give you a perfect example of this. And again, not trying to sound weird to you. But your Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, before anything was ever created, in God's perfect time, in His time, that's beyond our time that we live in, Jesus had already been crucified. He was not plan B. He was not like, oh gosh, I didn't see Adam and Eve doing that. I better figure something out. God already had it in place before anything was created. But there became a point in time, and it just so happened to be a little over 2,000 years ago, that God's perfect time and our regular time split open. It's like our time split open, and the perfect timing of God manifested in a time that brought forth a reality to our eyes, something that already existed. In fact, Peter talks about it, and he says that it was done for our benefit because we wouldn't have believed it otherwise. The crucifixion. It was already a done deal. Forgiveness, salvation, all of it was already available so that you and I would believe it. It was created in time so that we could say it actually happened here. But it had already happened. Again, not trying to sound weird. Just trying to give you a little bit of an understanding of what I'm sensing and feeling is there is this is the wrong way to put it, but it's like a tear in time that God drops something in place that we can grab a hold of and go, I need that in my life. I don't even know and recognize all that I need in that, but I need that. So I want to teach you something about honor that I think is super important, and I will tie all these things together so you understand why I'm bringing this now. In Exodus chapter 20 is what we call the Ten Commandments. It lines out the Ten Commandments. Phil, write this down. I will come back, and I will teach that the Ten Commandments are not actually Ten Commandments. It's actually a marriage proposal from God. Did you mark it? Okay. Yes. I promise I can back that up. We see the Ten Commandments as something that are the must-dos and must-not-dos, and we see them as restrictive. But when they were brought forward, they actually were a way of setting people free from slavery, from poverty mindset, from slave mentality, that if I'm bigger than you and I have more money than you, I can take from you whatever I want. If I'm stronger than you and yet I don't like you, I can kill you if I feel like it. That's what they lived in. And so coming into a place where someone who was living fearful of their life suddenly gets told, you shall not kill. It's like, right on. I don't have to be fearful of my life anymore. You come into a group of people who work 7 days a week as much as the people in Egypt wanted them to work and whip them into work and all these things. Suddenly now they're being told, you need to take one day in seven and actually rest. It's no longer seeing it from a restrictive point of view, but seeing it from a position of, I want to do these things for you so that you learn how to operate in a position of being sons and daughters instead of being slaves and impoverished. Right smack in the middle, in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20, God says this, honor your mother and your father. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. I don't want to focus too much on the your days may be long. There's a reason why that's written in there, and it's about generations, and it's too long to try to explain. I really want to hone in on this. Honor your mother and your father. In a room this size with this many people, there are probably some in here who would ask this question. How do you honor someone who is not honorable? Maybe you were abused. Maybe you grew up in an alcoholic home where you were called names. Instead of your own name, you were called some obscenity or degrading. Your dignity was taken, I don't know. There's loads of things. Many people grow up in homes that everything seems okay until you get alcohol and involved, and suddenly it becomes volatile, and people are hitting each other and screaming and just ugly. So how do you honor that? So I would say that our definition and understanding of honor needs to be adjusted. I'll give you an example. I think we were eating out with someone, and the person who was our wait staff was not real nice, and at the end of the meal, I like extravagantly tipped this person, and one of the people that we were there with was like, "Why did you do that? Like, they didn't do a good job. They were rude. They didn't, you know, they forgot about it. Whatever." And I said, "You know, because I don't honor people based on what they deserve. I honor people because I'm an honorable person. It's not based upon what they should or should not get. It's based upon who I am, not based on them. So let me share this thought with you. Honor is me drinking water. Honor is more about the next generation and what you give away to them than it is about how you talk to, listen to, or do what the previous generation said. Do you understand? Like, I know this is a little bit like, I'll give you an example. So, Steve, if I didn't know anything about your family, your father, your mother, any of those things, but I just looked at your life and the time I've spent with you over the last 20 plus years, I would go, based on how you live and how you walk and how you interact with your family and how you treat people, I would say Steve probably had a godly father, maybe a godly grandfather that was passed down. Now, whether that's true, you may have not. You may have had a terrible example of a father, a terrible example of a grandfather. I don't know. All I know is the way that you honor your mother and your father is by the way you live now that causes people to go, this is what a godly man or a godly woman actually looks like. You catching what I'm saying? Okay, so how does this all tie in? Watch. When we don't allow ourselves to be identified by the way God sees us, and we allow ourselves to be identified by either what we're currently going through, how we were brought up, struggling between, I know it's right to honor, so therefore I'm going to pretend like all the bad stuff that happened to me didn't happen to me, but I'm carrying all these scars, and I'm allowing them to be let out of me from time to time because I don't know how to identify with anything except what happened to me or what is happening to me. We begin to live our life in a place that doesn't honor our Father. I don't know why we point up. Right. Does a devil worshiper point down? An atheist goes... anyway. Sorry. I only said that because, again, it's a mixed up mentality. We have this mentality that God is this old white-haired dude sitting on a throne up there, and one day we're going to be able to be raptured up and go sit in front of him. And but God is, he's here and he's now. And my life, if I will allow myself to be moved by how he sees me, and I honor who he is by living my life out of that instead of living my life out of circumstance or out of whatever. So here's one of the things I saw when I was sitting here in the middle of our worship time going on. I believe that we are sitting right now in a place where God is calling us out of our identifying with sickness, with disease, with alcohol, with abuse, with whatever. And it's not to say it didn't happen. It's not to say it isn't real. It's not to say it's all, that is not how you honor God by pretending something that's wrong is suddenly right. The way that we honor anything, whether it's our mother and father or our heavenly father, is by allowing ourselves to outwardly be who God inwardly sees us as. You catch what I'm saying? So some of us in here need to be called out. So, is this okay? I'm asking your permission, but Tommy, I call you out of sickness and into health in the name of Jesus. You are not a man that is sick. You're a man that's being attacked by a sickness, and I call you out of that in the name of Jesus, into who you're created to be in Jesus' name. There's some of you sitting in here right now that you are struggling with, I don't know who I am. I only know what I'm going through. I call you out of, you are not a divorced woman or a divorced man. You're a son or a daughter. You're not an abused child or an abused woman, or that is not who you are. It may have happened to you, but it is not who you are. You are not what you struggle with. I see we need to have, I don't know how else to put this, but we need to have like Teflon hearts that no matter what the enemy tries to put on us, it just falls off of us. And we allow ourselves to hear what God says about us, step into this place. When Annie was singing earlier, Spring Up, O Well, I had the weirdest vision, and I was like, God, I don't know what to do with this. This seems so weird. I saw myself standing on top of a capped well that shot me straight up in the air, and I wasn't fearful of falling because it never runs dry. It was like I was sitting on top of this spring of water that was bursting forth, and I was sort of just playing and sitting in it, and I was like, at first I was like, Lord, I know this is going to hurt when I hit the ground, and I heard it never stops, it never runs dry. And if you identify by God as this roller coaster in my life, that He picks me up when I need it, but I know inevitably I'm going to fall, that's the way we will live our lives continually. It's this not realizing that the spring of the well that springs forth never stops, and it continually bursts forth. Really quickly, I want you to understand this, that this is scriptural. God never, you will not see where God says things like, I have love, or I have mercy. God says, I am love. I am mercy. Because if God were to say, I have mercy for you, then He could have more or less. He could have or not have. If He had love for us, He could take it if He felt like it. But when we embrace who He is, and His being is love, or His being is mercy, then it's all mine, right? Because I've accepted Him. He lives inside of me. Now the fullness of who He is dwelling inside of me. Therefore, even though maybe I was never shown how to express love, because I grew up in a home that love wasn't expressed, I don't grab a hold of that. I grab a hold of the fact that my Father in heaven has taught me how to love because He is love. And because He is inside of me. Do you see the difference? So, as we begin to step in position of this tearing open of time and God dropping what we need, we must understand that we have to let go of something that we've said is and grab a hold of something that we now know is for sure. Do you understand? If we try to hold on to past identities or past things that we've allowed to say this is who we are, and we reach out and we grab a hold of something that God says is, suddenly there's a tug of war that begins to happen. Then we begin to look at, well, how do I feel? right? I actually have some scar. And pretty soon we find ourselves kind of leaning toward, well, the reason that we do this is because we've allowed ourselves to be identified in our soul, which is, it's a little more than this, but simplicity, it's mind, will, emotion. We've allowed ourselves to be defined by how we feel instead of by what the reality of who he says he is. And so we allow that to take place, and ultimately we will let go of these things at least somewhat and suddenly grab onto this because we feel like it's tangible. It makes me feel this certain way. It makes me think this certain way. I have to tell you this. Because I'm not, this is shocking, but because I'm not perfect, I still have areas, obviously, in my life where there's tug-of-war that goes on consistently. And no matter how much I determine I'm going to make these things be right, in, you know, these things are not going to be in my life, I'm not going to pass these things on to my children, or I'm not going to allow myself to be run over by anger and start name-calling or whatever kind of things you might be dealing with, I personally have a tendency to stretch my hand out and grab a hold of those things sometimes, and they manifest in my life because I haven't yet learned how to operate in this place of fully who he is. And when I need mercy for somebody, it's not my mercy but his that I'm giving away, because it's who he is. Can I tell you something else really quickly? He's also judgment. Now listen, we got this mixed up though. We think, and I'm not denying that there will be judgment, but it's judgment of sin, not judgment of me. Do you understand? If I allow sin to have place or identify me, then I'm allowing myself to step in front of the judgment that God is trying to judge sin, because I've determined kind of that's who I am, right? This is, I know I say this often, but this is why I have an issue with, hi, my name is Zach and I'm an alcoholic. I've just identified myself by something that I struggle with instead of releasing it and going, nope, that is not who I am. I am a set free child of God that is not bound by some garbage that I maybe dealt with or had an issue with or whatever. I am a true born set free child of God, and I will not allow that thing, because God wants to judge that. You know why he wants to judge that? Because it comes in between me and receiving his love for me. And anything that comes between me and receiving his love, he will judge. And if we hold on to that, we feel the judgment of God, even though it's not me he's judging. And so when I say God is judgment, it is, he is judgment of the things that want to identify me wrongly. So I wrote a couple things down I think are important I need to read to you really quick. And I'm going to have the worship team come back up here, and I want to move into responding to him in this way. I wrote down a couple things that I think we really struggle with and don't realize we're struggling with sometimes. Things like this. Husbands, some of you are treating your wives like you're taking out on your wives things your mother did 30 years ago to you. Wives, some of you are taking out on your husbands things that your dad did to you 20, 30 years ago. Because you didn't deal with it. You didn't allow God to judge it and move it away from you. You held on to it and allowed it to be carried right into your relationship with your husband. Some of you, like, I recognize mothers, again, happy Mother's Day, but I recognize that you learned how to be a mother by watching your mother. Some of you maybe didn't have moms in the home, but most of you did. But just because you watched certain things or even dysfunction happen in your home doesn't mean that's how God wants you to respond, react, be identified as. He has created the perfect mom, the perfect dad, the perfect, I mean, I have the perfect daughter, so, right? No, you catch what I'm saying. Like, I know I said that jokingly, but I believe that about her. And does she do everything perfectly? Probably not. But that's how I see her, right? Well, you don't know, because I don't, you don't, yeah. But that's how I see you. My wife is perfect, because that's how I see her, because I see her spirit, not what maybe is always going on the outside, you know, because we all struggle with what we believe about ourselves, and when we struggle there, it comes out here. So learning to respond to Him right now in a place where we let go of all those things that are trying to identify us by whatever it may be that you're struggling with, and learning to honor God and even truly honor our earthly mother and father by not just saying things, but by modeling for them what a life sold out for Jesus looks like. That's honor. Can I want to say one last thing about this. I need you to be careful of this. Do not come into church in front of your children, raise your hands and shed a tear, and then go home and scream at them because they spilled a drink. Listen, here's why I'm saying this. If your children, if the only picture of God they have is you, how are we displaying that to them? It cannot be just what's happening in here. It has to be a combination of what God is doing in these times and what God is doing in our own private times, and how we treat them and how they see us treat others, how they see me treat my wife, how you understand. And but it's going to remain broken if we don't stand and respond to Him and say, God, I've been carrying this thing around that's trying to identify me, and it is not who you said that I am. I want what you say about me to be me. I want the manifestation of who you are to be who I become in my life, in my children's life, in my workplace, in my community, in my friendship, in my church, whatever, you name it. That's what God wants to do in you, through you, and for you right now. So everybody stand up. I want to take the time to literally respond to what God is saying. And again, maybe you don't even know exactly what that is at this second. Like, what is it that's identifying me or whatever? But if you will open yourself up to Him, He will show you here and now. And I want to invite you to come and actually begin to fill this altar. You can do it from your seat, and that's okay. But I want to encourage you to come out of your seat, and then let's see what God does in this moment. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it is alive and it's active, that it will accomplish in here, in me, and in these today what you want it to be. Thank you, Lord, that we are not identified by the things that even we say, I am this or I am that. But God, today we step into the God-given identity, how you see us, how you created us to be. We step into that place today. Would you just meet us right where we are today, God? Shift and change our hearts and our mindsets and how we see things. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
would you set us free, every broken area you make whole, every missing piece you put back what's necessary. Thank you, Lord, that we can leave this place whole, set free, filled. We can leave this place healed, walking with you in right direction. We can leave this place with our mind intact, with fear banished from our lives. We can leave this place without feeling depressed as we leave, but filled with joy, the joy of the Lord. We can leave this place not being identified by the things of our past or the mistakes we've made, but being made new, a fully new creation. And so, Lord, do what only you can do in each one of us, God. Put back the things that, Lord, the enemy has stolen. I pray, Father, that there are things that we've let go of, dreams even, desires that are supposed to be in our lives, that we've let go of because we've allowed ourselves to be identified by things that are not who we are. So today, I call into position and into place the things that are not as though they are. I call into place in your life and in my life the way that God sees us to be the things that we begin to manifest in our life, that we begin to believe about ourselves. Before we see it manifest, we begin to declare it and believe it about ourselves, that we don't need to see it happen in order to believe that it is so. So in the name of Jesus, before it ever manifests, Lord, shift the way that we believe, the way that we think, the way that we declare. Let it be so. I declare wholeness over every person in here in Jesus' name. Even areas we don't realize are broken. Even areas we didn't realize we're identifying or letting dictate how we feel or how we think or how we treat people. Things that are broken and dysfunction. Things that are wrong. We ask now in Jesus' name that you correct those things. Some of us need course correction. God, we're walking the wrong way. I ask, Lord, that you would show us the right ways to walk. Some of us need our minds completely renewed. Lord, we've lost things. We've lost memory. We've lost who we are. And so today I declare in the name of Jesus that our mindsets will be put back on course in the right way, that memories will be brought and restored in Jesus' name. I declare, Lord, over each person in here, there are some who have heart wounds that have been carrying for years and years and years, scars and devastation. Things, Lord, people who that were supposed to be protecting actually devastated and destroyed and hurt, and we don't know how to trust, and we don't know how to let go of those things, and we don't know how to forgive. And so today, God, I pray that you would restore and, yeah, break off those places of feeling like we can't trust and we can't put those our hearts back out there for someone else to hurt or even potentially destroy. And Lord, I believe there are those in here who maybe were taken advantage of, even financially. Maybe somebody took from you. And I declare in the name of Jesus, that is not who you are. You are not one who was taken advantage of. And I declare over you, if you were someone who was stolen from, I declare that those things be made right in your life. But even more than just physically made right, that emotionally you're made right today and whole and set free in the name of Jesus. I believe there are some in here who were taken advantage of, maybe even raped, maybe taking advantage of in a horrible, horrible way. I declare over you, you are not a victim. You are not one who is identified by what happened to you. But you are who God says you are. You're fully restored and fully healed. You are emotionally right. You are not bound by the feelings that came from those horrible things that were done to you. But you are set free. Dealt with major medical things. healed, or maybe you went through the course, maybe it was cancer, and you're better now, but you're constantly living in fear of that returning. You're constantly living in a place of what if. So I declare over you today, not what if, but what is. And what is He is fully your healer. He is fully the one that you can rely on, and you don't have to live in a place of fear. You don't have to live in a place of what ifs, and should I just get all my stuff in order just in case? Or that's not how or who God called you to be or how He called you to live. So I declare over you now right thinking. I declare over your mind, instead of a place of fear, that you would be found in a place of perfect love that casts out all fear. That your spirit, your soul, your body would be made completely whole. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that we would line up, that literally we would line up to what you say. That our measuring stick not would be what we feel or what somebody else says, or even what the report we got from a doctor or anything else. What do you say, God? What do you say? How do you see us? How do you feel about us? Maybe you're struggling with, I've never felt loved by God. I felt like, yeah, my eternity is sealed, and yeah, He wants to maybe take me, reluctantly take me to heaven because He has to, because He's bound by a covenant. But I want to tell you today, you're the apple of His eye. He loves you just like you are. And so if you're broken in that area, that you cannot feel the love of God because either you feel like you've done too much, or turned your back at times, or whatever, I declare over you today, you are the apple of God's eye. He loves you because He is love. He loves you, and He paid the price for you, just like He did for me, just like He did for countless people on this earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
whatever it is that you've been wearing that isn't Him, rip that stuff off. Shake it off. Shake it off. That's not for today. That's not your portion. It's not who you are. Just shake that stuff off.
Hey, also, during this time, I feel it's appropriate to receive of the tithes and offerings. Whatever, there's boxes in the back. If you want to just do it when you leave, that's fine. But there will be a basket down here. I just feel that as we're responding to the Lord, yeah, this is a celebratory time that we're offering not only our entire self, but all that we have and all that makes up who we are. And that includes what we have in our wallet, if you will. So... you can give by going online to akbridgeofhope.com. You can give in here. You can give in the boxes in the back. I know this is a very different service, but I believe that we just need to continue to respond to what God's doing. So, thank you.
Thank you.
yeah, I want to do something really, not really quick. Michael and Megan are getting ready to head down to Montana, and they have to drive through Canada both ways, down and back, because they are coming back. Yeah, well, they own a field here now, so... yeah, so I love what God's doing, and I love that the connection that God has made with Michael and Megan here, and we couldn't be who we are without you guys. So blessed. But they also have to work. Go figure. Yeah, so if you don't know, they are painters, both of them, and they do amazing stuff, but they have big shows down in Montana, and at least Montana, I know for sure. Okay. And then they also run Fiddle Camp, right? Yeah. I should just have her down here explaining this, but anyway, they have to go down for these things, and the Canadian border crossing is a little bit sketchy, especially if you're going down and coming back. They have everything in order. But I just want to pray over them, not only safety, because they're going to be hauling a trailer down and back, but also that, like, they get through the border, and the border people look at each other and go, why did that happen so quickly and easily? What in the world? Just pow, through, and be done without any issue. And so I'm going to actually ask Michael and Megan to come down here, and I want to invite you all. If you don't want to come participate in this, that's quite all right. I want you to feel like you have to. But I just want to pray over them and declare in Jesus' name that they will get through everything really easily, really quickly, without any trouble, totally safe. And so, and back here. Yeah, they got to get back. So next week, just so you know, the team that's going to Africa, we're going to pray over them as well. And send them, like, not quite like that, but we are going to launch them and send them, and then when they get back, they'll be sharing about what happened there as well. So, yeah. So, I'm going to dismiss whoever needs to go, and we're going to pray over these guys, and I just invite you, again, to come, and if the Lord gives you something to share over them, I want to invite you to share with them, if you have a word for them. If you want to write them a check, you can do that too. So whatever, we're good. So Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free, for setting us on the path that, Lord, ultimately leads to you. And Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that all things that were done here today will be sealed by your Spirit, that people will leave healed, set free, and completely restored, all things restored, health restored in the name of Jesus. I bless you. Mothers, we love you, and happy Mother's Day. So glad you decided to be here with us. Have a great afternoon. Be blessed, and let's pray for these guys. Yeah, did you hear that, Sheridesh, next week? It's Mexican. Listen, go vote. You better get out and vote. If you're of voting age, vote.
Yes,
vote.